Hey, good evening. Yeah, it's a joy for me to be here. I praise God for this privilege. As Pastor Elias began to speak, I was so thrilled, really thrilled, overwhelmed, you know, because when we talk about the Holy Spirit and the church, this is really, really the heart of God. We are really, you know, we are really at the very presence of God, because this is what God longs. God longs for us as the church to be so filled with His Holy Spirit and see and be totally, you know, be set free. The Holy Spirit sets you free. He's a spirit of freedom. He sets you free. No more, you know, any kind of restriction. He sets you free to serve Him, to give yourself to Him. As Pastor said, no, He possesses us. He takes charge of our lives, and that is a privilege. So, you know, I'm sure we're going to have a blessed time as we go through these sessions. So let me begin right away, hoping that this would work. Yeah, okay. This is my... okay, this is my family. My wife is not here. This is our elder daughter Ruth and her husband Abhishek. They have three children. These are their three children. And our younger daughter Rebecca and her husband Litu. They live in Bangalore. They live in Chennai. They have two. So my wife has just gone there for this newborn. She's 22 days old now. His name is Elijah. So she's there taking care of the newborn baby along with our daughter. So let's go to the Lord. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You, Lord. We worship You. We worship You, Lord. We give You all the glory. Father, we look forward expectantly, Master, this whole time, Lord. We just look forward expectantly. We believe, Father, Lord, we are not here by accident. We are not here by chance. Truly, Lord, You are here, Lord, to minister to us. Lord, this is a lovely time that we could take, set apart and come here and wait in Your presence and just be soaked, Lord, soaked with You. Father, we thank You. We thank You. We worship You, Lord. We give You all the glory and we look forward expectantly, Lord, to hear from You and allow You, Lord, to minister to us. We give You all the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, now let me begin with this verse, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Can I remove it from here? Is it possible? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So when you talk about the Holy Spirit and the church, we have to go to the very beginning. You know, the very beginning where it all began and how God began creation. And the creation story is about the Holy Spirit. When we read this verse, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, sometimes we just think of it as physical life. God breathed His breath, breathed into His nostrils and the breath of life. When we say breath of life, we generally think it's the physical life that we are talking about. But this is not the physical life. This is the wholeness. This is the full life. God's breath is God's Spirit. The Spirit of God was breathed into man. So God, when man became, when man was created, what he received was not just the physical life. Man received the breath of God. This was life. This was truly the life that God... So right from the very beginning, God wanted us to have that fullness of life. We have reduced life to physical life. So you're looking at me standing here and you're saying Valentine is alive. Why is he alive? Because he's standing there. He's speaking. He's moving. So he's alive. And suppose if I were to collapse and my heartbeat stops and my breathing stops and everything stops, a doctor would check me out and say, Valentine is gone, dead. So we have reduced life and death to a physical realm. But that's not how God gave us life. God said, I have given you life in its fullness. So in the beginning, it all began with that full life. We've lost it. We have lost it. We have come to a terrible condition, as Pastor Elias was sharing from his heart. You know, we have come to a terrible condition. What we need to do is to go back. Go back to where it all started and go back to where really what God wanted us to have for the very beginning. God wants us, wanted us to have fullness of life. Now when we talk about this fullness of life, what do we understand by the fullness of life? I think I need help to move the slide forward. Yeah. Now again, I'm so amazed that Pastor Elias used the word shalom. This is the fullness of life. When God gave us fullness of life, there was dimensions to it. There was details to it. It was not just God saying, I'm giving you fullness of life. And you will ask the question, what is fullness of life? What do I understand by fullness of life? It's very detailed. It's very beautiful when we understand what God gave us. So, there were four dimensions to this. Let's go back. Yeah. So, the fonts are probably not correct, not suiting here. The first one is wholesome relationship with God. The fullness of life comes because you're in a wholesome relationship with God. Everything is for me is God. My sustenance is God. My life is God. So wholesome relationship with God is not just that you go to God, you know, now and then when I have a need, I have a crisis, I have a problem, I go to God. That is not relationship with God. Relationship with God is a habitat relationship. Now, what do I mean by habitat relationship? Now, if a fish in the water, the water is the habitat for the fish. You take the fish out of the water, it's out of its habitat. It will not survive. For us, God is our habitat. That is relationship with God. You don't come to God piecemeal. Now and then, occasionally, when I'm in a problem, I come to God. That is not a relationship with God. Relationship with God is habitat relationship. So today, you've got to ask yourself this question. Are you in a habitat relationship with God? Is he your breath? Is he your environment? Is he your atmosphere? Literally, you're soaked in him. Lord, I want you, Lord. I don't need you for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm not here to bargain with God. I want God, period. Put a full stop after that. You don't come to God and ask Him for things. Sadly, we have reduced relationship with God to, you know, all of these, you know, oh brother, my problems, I have this relationship, I want this problem to be solved. That's where we have come to, sadly. We have to come to God and say, Lord, thank you. You are mine, I am yours, that's enough. I'm rested in you. So that's a wholesome relationship with God. That's the first dimension. The second dimension is, if shallow is, wholesome relationship with ourselves. Today we are not. Today we are broken people. We are confused people. We are full of fears. We are full of doubts. We are full of anxiety. We carry a lot of issues. We carry a lot of unforgiveness. We carry a lot of bitterness. And we are struggling with ourselves. The self in us is a big problem. Today also I was talking to a person. And she was telling me all her issues in life. And she said, I am going to do this. I am going to solve this. I said, first thing, put that self on the cross. As long as your self is in the center, you're not going to experience the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're going to talk, I'm going to do a full session on that. That's the whole issue of dealing with the self. The self is our big problem. And today that has really caught us in a problem. So we are in a wrong relationship with ourselves. But when God created us in the beginning, it began with a wholesome relationship with ourselves. Okay, rightly related with ourselves. That's the second dimension of this life, this shalom life. Okay, then the third dimension of the shalom life is right wholesome relationship with my neighbor, with those around me. You know, my family, my society, my church, my community, my culture around me, my nation. You know, we are people who are in relationships. Today we are messed up. We are in all kinds of problems. We are not able to get along. We have misunderstandings. We have issues. We have struggles. We have peace conferences. We have to have peace workshops and seminars to reconcile people and get people to come together. Because we have all kinds of barriers. And you keep creating barriers. Fresh barriers. New barriers. No relationship with one another. God created us. He created us with shalom. Rightly related with our neighbor. Wholesome relationship with our neighbor. Third dimension of shalom. Then the fourth dimension of shalom is something that we don't even want to, we've not even considered. God gave us responsibility over creation. God said this creation is God's. It's God's beautiful creation. He made us to be the ones who have responsibility, dominion. The word is Genesis 1:26. God made us have dominion. Can somebody read that? Genesis 1:26, read it out loud. Genesis 1:26, quickly, loudly.
Then God said, let us make mankind.
Little loudly, Tamil.
Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish and the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that dwell on earth.
So you see, Genesis 1:26, there are two sections in that verse. The first part is about God creating us in their image, plural. God, not God creating us in his image, it was God creating us in their image, which means the triune God came together and they transferred all of themselves into us. So the image part is so powerful. Sadly, we stop there. We stop with the image part. But the image was given in order to have dominion. Go and rule the creation. Okay? And that is a huge issue. Ruling is not a small, it's not just stewardship. It's not just stewardship of creation. It is ruling creation. Like, let me illustrate. You know, when the British were here, we had viceroys. Isn't it? The viceroys, who were these viceroys? What was their role? They were the representatives of the crown. They were not the monarch. The monarch was in England. But there was a viceroy here who represented the monarch and carried the logo, the emblem, the crown. Literally, he or she carried that, executed on behalf of the monarch, ruling. You and I are rulers of God's creation. This creation today is hurting. Today you have a pandemic. Who created the pandemic? Did God create pandemic? No, you and I stopped ruling. We allowed this, we did all the nonsense that we should not have done to creation. We did all the mess up. The creation is now rebelling against us, is throwing back at us. And we are having huge crisis because we lost out on the fourth dimension. Wholesome relationship with creation is gone. Shalom of God has these four dimensions. So please don't ever forget it. When you talk about shalom, the fullness of life, this is the abundant life. It is not just a vague idea, some vague generalized, I don't know, it's not very general, it's very, very detailed, very specific. God gave us shalom. When God breathed His breath into the nostrils of man, God breathed the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God gave us shalom. We started with shalom. Now we are somewhere, we've lost it all. What God is saying, come back. Church, come back, wake up, because this is what I want from you. I want you to come back to shalom. I want you to enjoy that fullness of life. This is the life I have for you. You know, I want to empower you. I want to bless you. I want to make you powerful. Church, I have something great for you. Okay, four dimensions of shalom. Can we shut down this light? Let's go down. Okay, tell me. Four dimensions of shalom. Come on, quickly. First one, wholesome relationship with God. Number two, with ourselves. Number two. Number three, wholesome relationship with our neighbor. Number four, don't ever forget. Wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you what is shalom, you should say, this is what God wants. The Spirit of God should fill us, bring us back to shalom. Okay, now when we talk shalom, we must understand kingdom of God also. But I'll come to this little later. Let's go to the next slide. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Okay, when God gave this shalom experience in Genesis 2, and God created man, God gave man this command. We must remember that this was a command. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Okay? Now, the word command, God commanded the man. So when we read that, God commanded the man, what do you feel? What do you think about it? What do you think you understand that God commanded the man? Okay, let me ask it a little differently. Did God give man free will? Yes, no?
Yes.
You are sure?
Yes.
After giving man free will, God gives a command. It doesn't make sense. Oh, Lord, you are giving man free will, then you are giving him a command. Why? You are telling him you do whatever you want, you can eat everything, you can enjoy this garden, gave him everything. Then God gives a command. So, what is this? How do you process this in your mind? Why God? What is it about? What does this command mean? What does that communicate to you? Sorry? What does this matter of command communicate to you? You know, I am not going to be speaking and one-sided thing I don't like. I am a person, I want you all to talk back, interact with me, engage with me, respond. Then only I feel happy. Then only it will go well. Otherwise you will say, what is Uncle Valentine is going on speaking? Okay, what is this command? What does it mean to you?
There's a command.
Sorry?
There's a caution with that.
Command is a caution, okay? Sorry? Direction, some awareness, this side.
It's a framework
to operate, yeah, to live.
Choice for obedience.
Freedom. Who gives a command? Master. Use another word. Who gives a command?
Commander.
Thank you, George. Nice seeing you, brother, after many years. Okay. Commander. Use another word. Who gives you command? The king. The king is on the throne. The king says, I do not want you to eat this food. So that is why this whole, can we go back to the previous slide? So this whole shalom encounter, the shalom experience is a kingdom experience. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what is it? Righteousness, what righteousness? Righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is kingdom of God. In the Holy Spirit. That shalom is what the kingdom of God is all about. And the kingdom is being brought across by that word, by the matter of command. God says, I am commanding you. I am not advising you. I am not suggesting you not to eat of this food. I am commanding you not to eat. Okay? So it's a very serious issue here. Adam knew that he was commanded by the king. The Raja has commanded. Okay? And what was the command all about? That you shall not eat of this fruit of this tree. The day you eat of it, shall you move to the next slide? The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now when God said you will surely die, what do you think God meant by it? Physical life? Spiritual life. Okay, let's go to Genesis 3:6. Sin entered, isn't it? Somebody can read Genesis 3:6.
And loudly. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wife, she took of the fruit and thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
Okay. We know that this is where sin has entered. Now, when you say sin has entered, how do you explain sin? Sin has entered here. What? When you refer it back to Genesis 2, 16 and 17, where God commanded and now they are eating the fruit. So, what is sin? Disobedience is okay. Something more than disobedience. Rebellion to the Raja. King, you are king, so it's okay. You be king. I am now. What have I become? I have become king. I will rule my life. You see what has happened? Sin is not a simple matter. Sin is saying, God, get out. God, move out. You're no more the boss. I am the boss. I will run my life. I will choose what I want to choose. I will live the way I want to live. So who has now come on the throne? Who has now come on the throne? Come on, tell me. Who is now on the throne?
Self.
No, don't say self. Who?
I.
You are the king now. You see sin? Now we're trying to deal with sin in terms of all its outward. Oh, I should not do this. I should not do it. Don't deal with the core. The core is the self. Unless you deal with the self, you don't deal with the sin problem. If you don't deal with the sin problem, you don't understand the Holy Spirit. Okay? We'll talk about that in more detail. Okay. They ate the fruit. They rebelled. They said, I am the boss. What does Eve say? God has said so many things, but I am looking at the fruit. It looks very good. It's good to eat. It will make a person wise. It's good for food. She makes her own rationale about it. She goes through a process. She thinks about it. And says, I want to do what I want to do. She eats. And he says, tells her husband, you also eat. Because now we rule. Okay, they rebelled. They ate. What happened? Did they die? Now what happened? All of you are very quiet. Did they die?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. Soft, yes. Did they die?
Yes.
You're sure? This is the problem. Because for us, they didn't die. They're alive, no? Now, what did the devil tell Eve? Read Genesis 3:4. Genesis 3:4. What did the serpent tell Eve?
And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die.
Serpent said, you will not die. What did God say? The day you eat of the fruit, what will happen? Surely die. They have both eaten. And I'm asking the question, did they die? They're all very quiet. One or two people are answering. Because they're not sure. You're struggling, they're alive, no? If they're alive, who spoke the truth? Who spoke the lie? The devil said, you will not die. God said, you will die. They have not died. That means, who spoken the truth here? My goodness, frightening, no? No. They have died because what they lost, let's go back to the shalom slide. What they lost was shalom. They have died because all dimensions went. Man is truly dead. Okay? This is our death. Raj talks a lot about death, but death is serious. Man, when we say wages of sin is death, we need to realize the predicament of man. We are in a terrible mess. We have surely died. Okay, that is what has happened to us. So let's come further, move the slides. Yeah, so the verdict that came upon us is that death has now come upon us. Okay, and this is the condition that we are in. And so when we come to Christ, we must realize that God is bringing us back to shalom. God is bringing us back to that fullness of life. And this is our message to the world. This is the message to the world. When we tell people the gospel, when we share the gospel, we are not just trying to make a person to somehow, you know, repeat the sinner's prayer and accept prayer, which is good. But we are bringing that person back to fullness of life. We are saying, brother, sister, you are in a state of death. And that's why I like what Pastor Elias talked about. There are so many issues. We can't be just satisfied with this one thing called, you know, I have got Jesus as my personal Savior. I'm going to heaven. No, this is not just the whole relationship with God. God wants us to have that fullness of life. And God is saying, this is the need of the people. This is the need of the world. This is the need of the society. And this has to be the message that the church brings. And the church can only bring this message when you have fullness of life. When you are so sure about the fullness of life. When you are so thrilled with the fullness of life. When you are so excited about the fullness of life. This is your life. And you are not just enjoying it. You are, as an individual, you are enjoying this as a fellowship, as a church, as a body of Christ together. You are all enjoying the fullness of life. And then you say, Lord, we as a church will move out. We can't be just satisfied within our four walls and saying, oh, we are having fullness of life. We will go out And we will reach out to many, many, many hundreds and millions of people out there who are in darkness and who are in death. We will move them from death to life. John 5, verse 24. Anybody?
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Loudly, loudly.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, I believe on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
But is passed from death to life. You see, when we present the gospel message, we need to see the awesomeness of this message. Not just, oh, the person accepted Jesus and this person raised the hand, walked up to the altar and confessed and said, Jesus, come into my heart. This is not just this man. You are moving a person from death to life. Wow. When that begins to grip us, we say, Lord, Lord, this message I cannot hold back. Lord, we will not hold back, Lord. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord, with that abundance. Fill us with that excitement, Lord, because we want to go out there and bring many, Lord, who are in darkness, who are in death, who don't know they are dead. There are millions of dead people walking around. Okay? A lot of dead people walking around. And our job is to go out there and bring them to life. Let me ask you, can you give me a definition for evangelism? Give me a definition for evangelism. What is evangelism? You can define evangelism in many ways. Try. I'd like you to think about giving a definition for evangelism. What is evangelism? Yes, sir.
Sharing Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Sharing Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Good.
One beggar telling another beggar where to
find bread. Yeah. One beggar telling another beggar where to find food. Anybody else? What is, give me a definition for evangelism. How am I on time? I don't want to go beyond my time. Dear Raja. Okay.
It's not time.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Evangelism. Definition. What happened? All believers here, all strong stalwarts sitting here. Tell me, give me a definition for evangelism. Sorry? Tell people who Jesus is. Okay, you can note down this definition. This is my definition. My definition is bringing dead people to life. If you get this clear, you'll get so excited. Lord, my job is not a small thing. My job is to bring dead people to life. Lord, now I know what life is. Life is this abundant life, this fullness of life. This is the shalom experience which the Spirit of God gives to us. Oh God, dead people. There are dead people who are lost, who are in this world. Totally, all those four dimensions. Gone. Gone. And they are in this terrible state of death. Lord, we will bring dead people. We will bring dead people back to life. Okay, so that is our task. And so the verdict that came upon us is death. Yeah, next slide. So you see what has happened. We have lost out on all the four dimensions. Wholesome relationship with God is gone. Wholesome relationship with self is gone. Wholesome relationship with neighbor is gone. Wholesome relationship with creation is gone. The world is in agony. The world is in pain. And it's suffering and hurting. The church has the solution. The church is sitting. No. We'll keep this message to ourselves. Imagine, you know, you found a vaccine for the virus. Okay? You really found a vaccine for the virus. And you keep that vaccine to yourself. You won't share. Think about it. Just think about it. You found a vaccine, you keep the vaccine to yourself. People are dying of the virus. You say, no, the vaccine is good for me. I have enjoyed it. I will keep it. You understand what I'm saying? Today, this reality, the seriousness, the frightening thing that is there is death. Death. And the author of death is the devil. He's holding people in his grip. And when we get into this task of raising dead people to life, you are going to confront the enemy. We're going to talk about it. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. You are not going to be in a fun time. This is no games time. This is not fun time. This is warfare. The church has to realize in the Holy Spirit, when we move out there, Lord, to bring dead people to life, the enemy will get angry. Wow, I am keeping people in my grip, in my clutches, and you have come here. You have come here to release them. You think the devil is going to let them go easily? He will fight tooth and nail to keep those people in his grip. And you and I must say, no, we as the church, we will chase the enemy out. We will chase the enemy out. This nation, 1.42 billion. Friends, please understand this nation. 1.42 billion. They say by early 2023, we've already come to 2023. In a few months, we are going to overtake the population of China. Okay? Few months. We will beat China. We will be the biggest nation of the world. Get that straight. Get that into your heart. Get that into your mind. Which is the nation which will be most answerable and accountable to God and before God? You decide. Which nation? Which nation on which God will look and say, what happened to this nation of 1.42 billion people? Can the church in India say, no, we were busy. You know, we had a lot of things, a lot of programs, a lot of activities going on. So, church in India, I gave you responsibility for that 1.42 billion people. And friends, this, as we come for this camp, and as Pastor Elias said, I hope you are really expectantly looking forward to God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, and the Holy Spirit wants to, you know, not just to fill us, to make us feel excited and happy. God is filling us, the Holy Spirit, in order to mobilize us. Into that battlefield, into where the rubber hits the road, where the devil will come and will say, thank you, Lord, we are here to wage war. We will not let the devil go. We will chase this fellow out. This nation is our nation. Today they are telling us, you don't belong here. You know what I'm saying, right? They are telling us, you people don't belong here. We will say, no, this is our nation. This is our soil. This is our water. This is our place. These people are our people. We are accountable. We are answerable. When you stand before God, the Lord is going to ask us the question about our nation. If you and I have been birthed in this nation, you should be so proud about it. Say, thank you, Lord. What a privilege. The greatest nation, the most populous nation of the world. I have a privilege. We have a privilege to be here. Lord, we won't let this nation go. Young people, a lot of young people seated here. I'm so happy. Take a challenge to say, I will live in this country. I will not migrate. Hello? Am I getting across? Make a choice. I will not migrate. This is my land. I'm here for a reason. This land I will reach. This 1.42 billion people are my people. I'm answerable, accountable to God. We are answerable, accountable to God. Okay? So this is what the reality is. Then, so man is imprisoned in death. This is the reality. And we are here to move him out. Let's read Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15.
Partakers of flesh and blood, He also
himself
likewise took part of the same. That
though
death
he might destroy him, that had
the power of death, that is the devil.
Next verse.
And deliver them who thought fear of death were all their
life lifetimes
with the devil.
Can you read again, Tamil, a little loudly and go through it little slowly so that we get a grip on that, those two verses. Yeah.
For as much then as children are partakers of.
Okay, we are partakers of flesh and blood. We got into this problem of sin and death. So what did Jesus do?
He also himself likewise took part of the same.
That's why he came. He identified himself with us, partook of flesh and blood.
That through death,
he then went through death and destroyed the issue of death completely. We'll talk about it in detail, but this is really what Jesus did. This problem of death was settled on the cross. Finished. Jesus took that death and said, this is over now. Death, don't frighten us anymore because I have dealt with this problem. Then pick it up from there. Just read the same sentence again.
He might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil.
That is why Jesus came. Set us free and said, not death, not the whole issue of death out. Set us free. Then what happens?
And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
This is us. Released us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. Set us free. He says, now I have done the job. I have got this victory. Death is over. Now go back into the world and bring shalom. And that is my next slide. So this whole ministry is the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, Lord, we now understand. We now understand that this is what, Lord, you have for us. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hand. Okay, again, let me ask the time, Raj, how much of time do I have?
7:45.
Good, nice time. Can I request you all to turn around in groups of threes, okay, twos or threes, not more than three in a group. Turn around, okay, quickly turn around your chairs. Let me first tell you what I want you to do, then you do that. Turn around and have a small little 5-minute conversation in your small group. What did God speak to you today? What was it that God, you know, dealt with you today? And you understood in a very important way. Something fresh came through. Something important has got into your heart and your mind. Discuss that in your small group of three people. And I would like you all to pray. Pray for one another. Okay, the next 5 minutes I wanted to do that. Let's do that quickly. Okay. Twos or threes, not more than three in a group. Just turn your chair around. Just quickly turn your chair around. Share for a few minutes what did you learn, and then pray for one another. Quickly. Once you have shared, kindly spend a little time in prayer for one another, what God has taught you. Can we quickly come back if you have prayed? Father Lord, we thank you, we praise you, Lord, for you have spoken to us today. Lord, this matter of the Holy Spirit and Lord, this fullness of life. Thank you, Father, and Lord, this task is so awesome, so great. Lord, we look forward to the coming sessions, Lord, when we will learn this more. We will appropriate it, we'll apply it. Lord, we will realize that this is an amazing time you've given to us to be equipped, Lord. Lord, this camp is not an end in itself. Lord, this camp is just a beginning, Lord, for you to do a great work in and through the church. Lord, we pray the church in India will waken up. Lord, will realize its awesome position, awesome responsibility for the task at hand. We give you all the glory, Master. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I still have a few minutes before my time is finished, maybe 2-3 minutes. I'd like you to share, today, from today's session, anything that really registered in your heart, something that was something very important, very special that you learned or God spoke to you. Anybody would like to quickly stand up and share, or if you have a question, you want to clear a doubt or something that you felt wasn't explained properly, you could even do that. Anybody? Quickly. In just 2-3 minutes. Yes, anybody? Really registered in your heart, you feel very excited, that it's made so much sense to you. Would you like to quickly get up and share? Yes, loudly so that everybody can hear.
For me, it's the first time I'm hearing about the
Shalom.
So that was very touching. And also, you said that God has to be my habitat.
Yeah.
Water to the fish.
Yes.
Lord, and also,
He's
a king.
He's king.
He is my commander.
Yes. Yes. Very good. Excellent. Yes, I hope all of you heard, those of you at the back, did you hear her? Did you hear?
So, what I said was that Shalom, what Shalom means, this is the first time that I heard about the four aspects of Shalom, and it meant a lot to me, and that God has to be my habitat, like water is to the fish, and also King, God is my king, and that's why he commands me, and that's why I need to obey him.
Even though I have freedom.
Even though I have freedom. Yeah.
Yes, anyone else?
Come, anyone, quickly. We don't have much time. So good to get up and share.
We have to do something for the salvation of so many people in the world, the crores of people. They believe that they are very holy, they are religious, they are with God, and they are worshipping only human gods and devas and devis, and it is our responsibility to speak about all these things. We are dead in spirit, so we have to resurrect with Jesus Christ. So the only one way is that we believe that I died with Jesus Christ when he died, and I am buried with Jesus Christ, and he resurrected, I also resurrected with him, and when he ascended to heaven, I also ascended to heaven, and I am sitting at the right side of the Heavenly Father. I have to be always with Jesus Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and sit at the right side of the Heavenly Father. That we have to share everyone that you are not doing right thing, you are dead, you have to resurrect.
Man is dead. Okay.
Thank you.
I call upon the choir to sing a song before we move on to the next one.
Lyrics. It's there. Yeah. Huh?